Okay, on this journey of looking and learning from the characteristics of highly effective people, number three is that they exhibit massive action. And what I'm going to do here, I'm just going to tell you a story about somebody I met for real who worked in a finance department. His name is Rob, to protect the innocent. And Rob was a management accountant. He came to work for me and to start off with, very enthusiastic and very energetic and very much wanting to please. And with Rob, in his current role, I asked him to do something very specific. I asked him to look at the debt situation and to identify over a four-week period the debt that could be collected and to tell me at the end of the month the debt that was effectively uncollectible. And that being the situation, at the end of the month, my intention was to refocus him on the collection of the collectible debt and to draw a line under the uncollectible debt. And Rob, being hardworking and conscientious, he worked very busily over that four-week period and came back to me. And he said, this is the controllable debt and this is what I believe that we can collect. In fact, he told me that all of it was collectible because he was hardworking and conscientious. And as the months went on, even though I'd said to him very specifically, I want you to tell me the uncollectible debt, he continued to work harder and harder to try and collect it. And what this meant was that Rob started coming in early into the office and working later in the evening. So when I came into the office in the morning, I'd see him sat at his desk, eating his breakfast, drinking his coffee, and perhaps trawling the internet and answering his emails. And as he continued to work on the debt that obviously couldn't be collected, I found that the people around him were starting to get a little bit irritated because with him focusing on the things that weren't necessarily of high value, it meant that he gathered a reputation for getting distracted. And if he was distracted, it meant that as being a management accountant, he couldn't give his information to the other people in the team on time. And the result of this, and you've probably seen it in your own office, is that people kept ringing him up and kept going to his desk to check that he was online with his deadlines. And being hardworking and conscientious, he always gave them a positive answer. However, when it came to a delivery, he gathered a reputation for leaving things to the last minute. But being hardworking and conscientious, he really wanted to please. However, Rob, to me, resulted in delivering work that was late, of a poor quality because he left things to the last minute. And what he created in himself was a stressful situation, and he emanated a stress to the rest of the team. Now, for Rob, he was studying for his final exams. And I've told you, haven't I, that he was coming into work early and he was leaving late, which left very little time for studying for his accountancy exams. The result was, and you can probably guess this, that Rob didn't pass his exams. And when promotion came available, he went for that promotion and he didn't get it. And as a result, in stressful situations, he ended up saying he was going to resign, of which he did. And you know, don't you, in recruiting new people, is it necessarily the people that are busy and hardworking and conscientious, or is it the people that can deliver results? Now, this story of Rob, it's a good story that we can learn from because he exhibited characteristics of procrastination. He could have done, he should have done, he would have done, but he didn't. And he's completely the opposite of highly effective people because highly effective people deliver results through massive, specific, aligned action. And this is what we're going to look at in this section. So my first tip to you in exhibiting massive action is to be completely focused and completely aligned onto those specific results that you defined in the first session. So what is it that you want, and how does that translate into what you need to achieve and deliver on a monthly basis? Then that monthly list of things to do needs to be translated into what needs to be achieved on a weekly basis. And then that needs to be aligned to how that needs to be delivered on a daily basis. And then, yes, I'm going to be asking you to think on an hour-by-hour basis in what you do at work. How is that aligned to you getting specifically what you want? This is controlled decision-making. Controlled as in you have the power to decide what you're going to choose to do and what you're not going to do. Because when we look at these highly affected people, they have not only that clear vision, but they can clearly link their long-term goals to what they're doing on a day-by-day and an hour-by-hour basis. And this is what gives them the confidence to say no to some things that land on your desk. The second thing that I'm going to ask you to do, and this is through many years of observing and running courses on time management, lots of people come to me and they say, yes, I do a to-do list, but I never get to the bottom of the to-do list. Well, I'd like you to take it one step further to have this massive action. I want you to do that to-do list. And first of all, I want you to think and ask yourself the question, how do these things contribute to what it is that I want? The second thing with that to-do list is to chunk it into when am I going to do this in the day? Most people have meeting schedules or things that already consume and eat away into the day. And if you have a look at what time you've got available, maybe it's only time that is 3 or 4 hours out of a whole working day. So take that to-do list and translate it into the time chunks of when. Now, why am I asking you to do this? Because again, this gives you the confidence to focus on one thing in a time slot, rather than trying to keep many balls in the air and think about many things. Focus is everything. The third thing in this section is that of priority. And I'm always telling my husband that I have the right to be first. And that's what priority is. Being earlier or more important and having the right to be first. And we know, don't we, in choosing which is the most important thing will help you focus on delivering those specific results. Okay, the next thing that I'd like to talk about is that of priority. We hear it a lot in business and particularly as finance professionals, but what specifically does it mean? And I'm always talking to my husband that I am his number one priority. And he laughs back at me, but priority is the right to be first. The right to be first in that it's the most important. And for us as finance professionals, in being able to decide what has the right to be first, it's got to be aligned to what it is that we want to deliver, what our results are. Now, for me, as a finance professional, I find all the time that there's choices to be made over what is going to come first and what's going to go to the bottom of the list. And a few years ago, I experienced priority making in its extreme. One of the first professions to do it was the medical profession, and they called it triage. And before the Napoleonic Wars, for example, if you were injured, it was a first come, first served basis. And of course, that can't work in medicine, can it? And as my little daughter, who was 2 at the time, got her finger stuck in the video recorder, and I had to get the fire brigade to come out to take her fingers out of the video recorder, they sent me down to A&E. And most of you will have been at A&E at some point in your life, particularly if you've got children. And the first port of call in an A&E department is the triage nurse. And the triage nurse is effectively there. Their sole purpose is to prioritise cases to decide who is going to go and see the doctor first and who has to wait. So, what can we learn from the triage? For us as finance professionals, we have to make a conscious decision of what's going to come first, what's going to come last, and what we're not going to do at any point whatsoever. We have to be able to prioritise. So looking at that to-do list, which ones can you immediately take off that list? Which can you stop? And which are effectively not aligned to the results that you want to deliver? Now, most finance professionals say to me that the biggest challenge is that of managing distractions. So which distractions are going to take you away from delivering your results? Some of the distractions that finance professionals talk to me about is distractions from email, distractions from what actually you can see at your desk, and also the distractions from people coming up to your desk and asking and requesting different things of you. And let's just boil this down, because being busy and hardworking and conscientious, just like Rob, doesn't mean that you are going to be effective. And as finance professionals, are we valued on the results that we deliver or on the ability to look busy and hardworking? Now, let's have a look at these distractions. Number one, email. Now, most accountants and finance professionals say to me that they keep their email open for the whole working day. And I ask them the question, why? How do you use email and how does it help you? Because email should be just a tool to enable you to produce the results that you want to deliver. However, there is a need, a human need, to feel as though we're wanted and we're needed, and to be able to respond quickly. However, if email is used in this way, it means, and you know, if you saw yourself in the office, that you'd be stopping what you're doing, getting focused on an email, getting distracted, and then going back to what it was that you were doing in the first place. And most people receive significant numbers of emails a day, which result in every 5 or 10 minutes, the stop, start, pick it up. Stop, start, pick it up. And for you as a finance professional, is that the most effective way for you to be managing your time? Who is in control? Is the email controlling you, or are you controlling the email? So what I'd like you to think about doing is writing down that perhaps there's one change you can make as a result of this podcast, is to take control of your email. And to look at it, yes, and to respond to it, yes, but only 3 times a day, once in the morning and at lunchtime and around mid-afternoon. And it's amazing how you can very effectively, if you choose to and you decide to, you can take control of that key distraction. The second key distraction is your actual desk. And if you are at work at the moment, just look around you, because a desk is almost like a visual distraction. If you feel that you are surrounded by things, unnecessary things, such as folders and files and post-its and pictures, every one of them is trying to grab your attention. And a great analogy for this in managing your time is, for example, when you go shopping. And most of you will have shopped at some point in a supermarket. And I reckon if you go in to a supermarket without a specific list, a specific to-do list, as you walk up and down the aisles and you smell the food and you see all the different labels, you effectively get distracted and you end up buying things that you never intended to buy when you first moved into the supermarket. That's right, isn't it? We've all done it. We've all got to the checkout and thought, why have I got all these things in my trolley? And that's effectively what your desk is doing. If it is cluttered, if it has too many things there, they are all visual distractions asking or maybe demanding that you spend time thinking about them. So my second thing with managing distractions is to clear that desk and take away all the unnecessary distractions that you've got on there. And the third, finance professionals, tell me that the third biggest distraction is people. People either phoning up or coming to the desk or in meetings asking for you to do things. Now, what I'm going to encourage you to do is to not say yes to everything. We all want to help and we all want to feel needed. However, producing the results that are important to us is significant if we want to manage stress. So rather than saying yes, I'd like to encourage you to ask the questions of why do you need that and how soon do you need that, and to manage their expectation. Maybe if we said no to them, the response wouldn't be that positive. But to agree to do something and to define when it's realistic to do it is professional, and it also shows a sign of confidence. Okay, so time management techniques. You might be feeling at the moment that what I've been talking about so far is not about getting more out of your time, but is more about having the confidence to do less and to stop doing some things. And that's exactly the case.